For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. This is Emmanuel once again.
Oluwani Femi Kolawole.
My name is Tim Guthrie.
Okay, why is your name funny?
I'm Bolu. I'm Bolu.
All right, welcome to today's edition or today's episode. And yeah, a lot of things happened during the weekend, and I'm sure it was interesting and exciting for us. Tim Guthrie, what's up?
I can't really say there was a weekend for me. I like spent most of Saturday roaming around Lagos.
Looking for what?
Yeah, trying to getting a phone, getting a laptop and stuff like that. So by the time we had done, it was very late. I had to go home to go and eat, sleep and watch movies.
Oh, watch movies and not watch a great rival win on that Champions League. All not right, interested. No problem. In case you're listening and Tingo's birthday was on Monday, and you can send him a happy birthday message.
Or not.
What? Why are you trying to block them from sending me money?
Oh, I sent message. I didn't say money.
I interpreted it as money. By the way, I'm on Twitter. You can enter my DMs and ask me for my account number.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so it's an interesting weekend. Some of us were streaming on DSTV now. Some of us were streaming on illegal websites, and some of us were streaming on illegal Twitter accounts, showing matches that people spent millions of pounds to broadcast. But no problem. But let's talk about sports, and we're going to talk about the internet first. We're going to talk about the internet. Yes, over the weekend, Starlink, Elon Musk. No one has, like, he doesn't send press releases to media companies.
He just tweets it and
it's not necessary.
It tells you what's up. Yeah. So yeah, true. That's a whole different conversation. So sometimes press releases are not necessary. But Elon Musk announced that the NCC has approved Starlink in Nigeria. So reportedly it's going to start operating in Q3 2022. Mm-hmm. So yeah, give us some juice. Why should we even care about this that everybody's shouting about?
Okay, yes, like you've rightly said, the Nigerian Communications Commission has licensed Starlink, a satellite internet constellation service owned by SpaceX, Elon Musk's space exploration company. So what's Starlink? Why should we care about Starlink? So Starlink is Elon Musk's space exploration company, and it's going to be offering internet to everywhere around the world, and it's able to do this with satellites, right? These satellites, they can beam faster internet to the Earth, faster than regular satellites, faster than a lot of current fixed broadband that we have now. So Starlink can beam, say, around 100 to 140 megabytes per second internet speed. Your average internet service provider will give you around 18 megabytes per second. So that's a really big difference. And like I said, it's able to do this because it has satellites that are very low. So they orbited very low. So they are closer to the Earth. They are like around 200 to 400 kilometers from the Earth. So it can beam really fast speeds. So they've gotten their license. They got two licenses, actually. They got the International Gateway License and Internet Service Provider License. But while this sounds, you know, really interesting, while this sounds like we might be having really fast internet very soon, it's also important to know that it's not going to come cheap, right? It's not going to come cheap at all. So if you want Starlink's...
It's not going to be affordable.
Okay. It's not going to be affordable. So if you want Starlink's internet, for example, you have to pay a one-time fee And that's not the premium. I'm not even going to go to the premium side. But if you want Starlink in your house, you have to pay a one-time fee of $599, which is around 359,000 naira to get the necessary hardware.
Please, how much do you call it in naira?
Spending.
I didn't hear the dollar part.
The dollar part is $599.
$600.
I still didn't hear it. How much do you call it in naira?
359,000 naira. But if you go by the normal rate, like the Google rate, that's just 248,000 naira.
But no one sees dollar in those rates apart from a certain set of people in Nigeria. But continue.
So that gets you the necessary hardware to get, you know, the internet beamed down into your house.
So
after that initial payment, you now start paying $110, which is 66,000 naira monthly.
Okay. Okay, that's cool. That's
66.
Oh my God.
That's cool. I'm sure Emmanuel is already planning on getting
me
spending
1.5 for 6 gig.
and it's funny because Starlink plans to offer super fast internet to rural areas, and I'm wondering, even people in suburban areas, people in that are not in rural areas, I don't think, well, I don't live in a rural area, so let me use myself as an example. I cannot afford this, for example. I can't. Even if they slash it by half, I still won't be able to afford it. So it begs the question, and it's the question we've seen people ask on social media, in a lot of news. We've seen people asking, how will people afford this?
So before we even talk about how Nigerians will be able to afford this, like, you actually need to understand why it's this expensive, because Elon Musk says the price will be the same thing for everybody everywhere in the world. The only differences might be the taxes, the import duties and all of that. But the price, why is it so expensive? I think we got a clip from Mountain West Conference in Barcelona that was held last year by GSMA, and he addressed the whole issue of why Starlink seems this expensive at this stage.
I mean, to be totally frank, we are losing money on that terminal right now. That terminal costs us more than $1,000. So we obviously are subsidizing the cost of the terminal. Now, we are working on next generation terminals that provide the same level of capability, roughly same level of capability, but costs a lot less. So that's one area of development for us. Because obviously selling terminals for half price is not super compelling at scale. Do millions of that, that's tricky. And over time we would like to reduce the terminal cost from $500 to, I don't know, $300 or $250 or something like that.
Okay, so $250, but can you still afford it at $250?
No, sir.
Yeah, that's still quite pricey. So it seems targeted at a different set of people. It seems like it was companies that would likely be able to afford it more than individuals. So and companies in rural areas, how would that work?
I actually love the idea in a way. So Africa is, the urbanization rate in Africa is like growing really fast, but the rural areas still have humans there. So
humans, so what in the urban areas?
I'm not saying they are not humans, I'm just saying like a lot of people. So there are too many people in the cities. I mean, look at Lagos, look around you. Don't you get overwhelmed when you see the number of humans around? So I'm imagining a situation where, okay, I am a startup founder, for example, and I'm looking to relocate my entire engineering team, for example. Or maybe I'm a startup and I want to put my customer center in a particular region. So let's say one remote, not really remote, but like a significantly less expensive city in Abeokuta. And then I take my team here, probably my customer care team, and then I can hire people from that region, which brings more jobs to the region and also brings more, So they are going to be paying taxes, they are going to be paying for stuff in those regions. So like basically spreading the money that may have been concentrated in urban areas. Then that's just for work. For I could also have, let's look at education also. So I could cite a school that leverages the internet very well to deliver education to students in these regions. So basically, students don't have to be in Lagos or Abuja for them to get quality education. Same thing with healthcare. A lot of people are doing telemedicine in Africa. If they are in the rural areas and they have Starlink, for example, then the internet connectivity, that is one issue that they'll probably have, might not be much of an issue. So, yeah, I think that's like a welcome development if you are looking at it from that angle. But yes, it's still very pricey for an individual, but for companies, definitely.
So it makes sense.
Compared to the options that are available, is the cost a trade-off that companies would want to go for?
Yeah. So it's how much again for a year? Sorry, for a monthly sub is around $100 plus, have you?
$66,000.
$66,000, fine. So if I'm paying $66,000 for super fast internet, faster than what anybody can provide, it means that I can hold virtual meetings comfortably. If there's anything, probably videos that need to be downloaded, they can download quickly. Like, provided the internet connection is just very seamless, I think a lot of if you're on Twitter, you see people that maybe they just go to Dubai or they go to the US and then they take a screenshot of their laptop and they show us internet speed. They're just trying to signal to us, okay, we are in a better place now. And imagine that coming to a village in Abeokuta, for example. I think that's really cool. So it's something that everybody should, maybe individuals can't afford it, but yeah, it's really good for businesses.
Okay. And
so, come with all the things you've stated out, like, right, the only downside to it is price.
Yeah.
Price,
right? Is that the only downside? We've not addressed some of the downsides yet, though, but continue, please.
Okay, so far. Yeah, the only downside I've seen to it is the price, right? So, if you want to ignore that price, can we say to an extent, Starlink would be like a competition? No, competition for existing broadband services.
For B2B, yes.
Yeah, I think it could probably be a competition, because at Tech Point we can probably relate to this. We are in Ile Ife in Osun State, one of the marquee cities in ancient Nigeria, and one of the major issues we faced, as nice as Ife was on many fronts, one of the major issues we faced was a good internet connection. I remember moderating a webinar and oh my god. I kept asking, are you guys there? Are you there? Are you there? And it bounced me, network bounced me out. I came back in, I saw they moved on without me. It was so embarrassing. And at that time, Starlink announced that, oh, they were working to get a license. And I was excited, because for someone like me staying in that kind of remote area, it would make sense. And looking at the price, it's the 6,000 naira, right? It's actually cheaper than what we tried to get from one of our telcos, a dedicated Wi-Fi service from, it was not a fiber optic distance, but it was still Wi-Fi. But it was more expensive. We're spending over 100,000 naira every month. Just to do that, 100,000 naira, that's roughly $200. So when you think about it, it actually makes sense for startups that are looking to work from anywhere. Like, just do a subscription service for, relocate your engineering team, your call center service, or any part of the team that you want to relocate. But yeah, it sounds nice. The speeds, the latency. In fact, one of the reasons why there's less latency with Starlink is, you know, for before, let's say an Airtel or a Fiber One or a Main One digs cable, connects the cable to your house. That cable gets connected to a data center and endorsed by the coast, by the Atlantic Ocean. That data center communicates with a server in Europe, or anywhere else in the world. Starlink does directly from your roof. It goes to the satellite. Satellite goes straight to the server. Mm. So that's how. That's why I think it makes sense. But one of the issues we should actually consider is the impact it will have on our environment. Elon Musk or SpaceX plans to launch up to 42,000 satellites.
Wow.
Orbiting the planet by 2024. Currently, they have about 1,900 satellites orbiting. I don't think they can make 42,000 by 2024. But still, if that is the plan, you have satellites that are just like 200 to 400 miles above the Earth.
Yeah.
That's quite close.
It's low, and you have 42,000 of them surrounding us. What happens when, say, there's a fault and it starts crashing down to Earth? Where you are in Okokomaiko.
That's it. Satellite crashing on your roof.
Yeah, but okay, that's unlikely. But say space debris coming down, it's crashing down to Earth. Difficulties with space exploration. People who are observing the stars, like the astronomers and the rest of them.
Yeah.
Just we see Starlink.
Yeah,
and the space exploration thing is important because they need to know when there are harmful things coming towards
coming to meet us. Yeah.
So if there's like a meteor or what was that thing that came in Avatar?
Can you imagine?
No one can remember.
Avatar. The Last Airbender.
Yes, at the end. A comet.
A comet, Halley's Comet.
So, things like that.
Are those things real?
Don't mind me, Halley's Comet.
Yeah, so when things like that are coming to Earth and the people who are supposed to know, who are supposed to see, cannot see it, it can be very detrimental to our planet.
Yeah, I get to... But these challenges, these problems that I mentioned, they are sounding real to me.
They are sounding like fiction.
Yeah.
Really?
Like, no, they're not like very close, relatable, like problems that can happen in the next 1,000 years.
No, so this is the thing. You have 42,000 satellites orbiting the Earth. What if two of them just
collide?
Oh. SpaceX is saying, oh, the satellites are intelligent enough to evade, but come on, it's technology we're talking about.
So I'm also wondering, well, I don't know anything about how the Earth works, but like how big is the Earth that 42,000 satellites would easily, or how small is the Earth that 42,000 satellites would easily collide?
Okay, yeah, here's the problem. 42,000 satellites, just SpaceX. Amazon is also launching its own set of satellites.
Oh.
And they're also targeting thousands of satellites too. China is also targeting the satellite internet service, and they want to launch thousands of satellites.
Yep.
Okay.
So how many satellites can...
The Earth take?
Yeah, and it's close to the atmosphere. It's not like it's space and it's just floating.
Okay, all these guys also want theirs to be close to the Earth.
Of course.
That's the only way it will make sense for internet service. Other satellites are actually farther than Starlink, and it makes more sense that way, that it's for it to be further. But for it to work with as an internet service, the latency has to be low. You have to be able to travel at not so great a distance, then come back, then go to the servers and all of that. So that's like one of the issues we have to face. Maybe not now, but eventually we have to actually address all these things face to face or head on. Let's get Elon Musk down and see about what's going on.
You should consider that.
Okay. So yeah, you guys are cool, right? Okay, Bolu, you have something for us.
I think Tim Gazzini mentioned, you know, businesses paying 66,000 naira monthly for Starlink, and I just wanted to correct that for the premium service Starlink could be providing. It's actually going to cost, which is also sort of like a business plan. So it's actually going to cost $500 monthly. So that's
$500 monthly.
Yes.
That's
275,000 naira.
Monthly. Monthly. Okay. We're paying over 100,000 for Wi-Fi, and the network was still not great,
dusty,
crappy. So if 275 gives me good network, I think it's worth it.
You see, Nigerians are not really poor. Can you hear them?
Okay,
okay, I hear you.
Okay, so Nifemi, let's go to the fact that Nigerians are not really poor. Okay. Let's build on from there. Nigerians are not really poor, and we have a lot of people subscribing to DSTV. But it has come to my notice that South Africa is about to disrupt DSTV service. Who is introducing it for me? Ifemi Chinguzuri.
Okay, so the African National Congress, that's the ruling South African party, they are introducing a policy that will prevent national sporting teams and associations from offering exclusive broadcasting rights to any digital broadcaster. So what that means is an exclusive right is that they are the only ones. So let's say Emmanuel TV Services is...
There's a TV like that, actually.
Yeah, Emmanuel TV, TV okay. Joshua.
Mm. Oh, I see. So imagine they get the rights to broadcast, let's say, games for the South African national, the rugby team. They are the only ones who can do that. Although they can actually sublet it, for lack of a better word, to other providers. So yeah, they can do that. But with the new policy, these national teams, sporting teams and associations, they can no longer do that. So the policy is not yet in force. It's probably going to come in, if it's passed, it's probably going to be around June, July, when the party does its national congress and all. So yeah, that's the summary.
That's the summary of the story.
Yeah, of the story.
But this puts an attention on DSTV, actually, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because, well, DSTV has exclusive broadcasting rights to air, like, high-profile sporting events.
Yeah.
Right. Both in Africa and other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we are talking about big African countries like South Africa, Nigeria,
yeah.
right? And so this particular policy, if it's going to affect any company that we actually know, it is DSTV, right? Mm-hmm. The DSTV has an exclusive right for Super Sport, right? That broadcast Premier League. This obsession that keeps men on their edge during the weekend.
Please, some men.
If you're a man and you're not obsessed with Premier League and uh-huh. football and all, they will think you are
abnormal.
They victimize you.
Yes.
Right. So that's why I had to say it like that. But now, this particular policy is trying to say, no, this monopoly. DSTV can't have it. And it's not like something that started today. Right, it's always been one African country after the other saying DSTV, you can't have this monopoly. But there's nothing they are doing about it apart from we want you to leave this right, like Nigeria did in 2020, by telling DSTV to also offer this right to local broadcasting services, right? And this thing also, what the ANC, the ruling party, is suggesting is that instead of DSTV having all these rights to sporting events, you should also give it to SABC, South African Broadcasting Corporation. But I'm wondering, do you know how much DSTV is paying for this right? Can SABC afford it?
That's one thing. So this is not like you said, it's not really something new. So 2019, they also had the same issues, and SABC actually wanted to get those rights, mm-hmm. but then they got money for them, told them to pay $200 million for 5 years. Or that's the rights for Premier League soccer. That's the South African Premier League. So these guys have it. What's their name again? DSTV. They have it for those 5 years, and they paid $200 million. So they said, okay, fine, you want what we have, fine. Or yeah, bring money, bring $80 million and collect it. And then we now start hearing that, exactly, like, pay. They said no, that they don't have the money to pay. So it brings up a conversation of, you can open up the, what do you call it? You can open up the playing ground and say, okay, we don't like this monopoly. Because, the monopoly means that one person can just determine prices, which doesn't sound very nice. But there's also another side to consider. When SABC could not pay, and DSTV just had to retain their rights, the Football League supported them. And the reason is very simple. They told them, look, if we give it to you guys at what people want, is it, I think they wanted that much, a 96% discount.
What?
Yes. And this that was...
They should come
and
pay now.
Exactly. I mean, you might as well just tell me, okay, just open your door. Let me use your services. So it would impact player salaries, for example.
Mm.
It would impact the development of the league, right? So those are some of the considerations that I think governments should be considering when they are making some of these policies. Yes, they are saying that national games should be like broadcast or seen by everyone. But what's the economic value to the broadcaster that everybody is seeing his game? He doesn't really care about democratizing access. He wants to make money.
Mm-hmm.
So
what were they looking when they were buying those rights?
Well, not. I don't know how much they're making.
Not for international
or matches. For
yes, for the local ones.
Well, it depends on how much they are making. I don't know. I've not seen their books, so I can't say it's not a wise decision. But they're probably making a lot of money as a result of that. I mean, I think they're sponsoring a football team in South Africa, so they're probably making really good money from it. So the thing is, the broadcaster just wants to make money, and you're telling him, kill monopoly, allow everybody to watch. Okay, fine. If everybody watches it, how do I make money? The other thing to also consider is how many games do these guys play in a year?
Mm.
The rugby team, the football team, the cricket team, how many games do they play in a year? Is it enough for me to... I mean, DSTV can probably do without all of that, but if these guys get the rights to it, because if you open up the playing field, are you also going to affect how these bodies price the broadcasting rights? So those are like some of the questions I'm asking myself. So
yeah. I think it's a very, very relevant issue, right? But, you know, for DSTV, one of its biggest selling points is Super Sports and all the sport matches.
Which are on the premium package.
All on premium package. Like, then if the Premier League or the whole European football season ends, the next thing that is a big attraction to DSTV is Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
So when you now look at all of that and you are seeing that there's no other player that is actually trying to compete with them, no active player, and you wonder how did they even get up to $200 million every year to pay the Premier League.
It's actually for five years. Yeah, so it's like 50M every year.
Okay, so how did they get that? They are making a lot of money, fine.
Yeah.
But still, for them to be able to outmuscle everybody that has come so
They've been around since. I mean, think about it. Since the Premier League, EPL now, they've been the official partner in Sub-Saharan Africa since 1992. That's almost 30 years, Abi.
Yeah.
So that's like, they had enough money. So the thing is, I'm just wondering, they obviously have the money. They are a much wider... SABC is just South Africa. Mm-hmm. Who outside South Africa watches it? Probably no one. But DSTV has engineers.
NBC.
NTA, I guess. That would probably be the equivalent. How many people even watch NTA? I've not watched the SABC, so I don't know if they even have serious content. But another thing to look at is probably the fact that when these guys started, they were still small. So there's this Sky Sports, they have the broadcasting rights too for EPL. And when they started, they were just 3 years. When they got those rights, they were just 3 years old.
Mm.
So you may ask, how would a small company get that money?
Well, fun fact.
Mm.
Eh? DSTV is owned by MultiChoice, right?
Yeah.
And MultiChoice is also the owner of Super Sports.
Mm.
Also the owner of Africa Magic.
Yeah, they are many, don't worry.
Yes. Then there is GoTV, which is like low budget DSTV. It doesn't have all the premium content. Then there is Mnet. And Emmanuel was asked, when Emmanuel asked the question of how are they able to get all this money that they're using to flex muscle, right? And I think it runs deeper than that.
Mm.
I found out some connection to big guns. while we were researching this story.
Tune is giving me motivation.
Yeah, the multi-choice. Like, I was really surprised to find out that NASPAS is the parent company of multi-choice. I was shocked. Like, what? Okay, NASPAS again. Now, for NASPAS is a name that most people don't really know, but let me list some companies that you might know them. They are also the owners of either by acquisition or they built it themselves. Code Academy, Stack Overflow, SimilarWeb, OLX, Tencent. They have a 30% stake in Tencent. So think about
BetKing. They have 48% stake in BetKing.
So there's money. They have the money.
So they have the backing from a very, very big financial giant. So it's now making me think about the future of pay TV in Africa. So are we still going to just have one major player dominating everything?
They've tried. So I'm thinking of game. Out. Kwese. After DSTV dragging Kwese in Zimbabwe, came to Nigeria, chased it out.
Okay.
Right. TSTV came, went, then came back. We don't know if they are still around. So it's not as if what people want to watch on pay TV, right? The thing is, can these local broadcasters, can they offer it? That is just it. It's not about being unfair.
You're giving me startup ideas.
Honestly, I don't think anyone will be able to boot multi-choice or DSTV or whatever there. I don't think anyone will be able to boot them out anytime soon.
Seriously.
I mean, 30% in Tencent. Tencent is like the major chip manufacturing company in the world.
The major tech company, almost like 17. They are the owners of
30%.
Even if you can, even if you can boot them out. So I'm looking at a situation where a South African businessman, for example, looks and he sees, okay, these guys don't have to sell exclusive rights to just one person, and then he's like, okay, let me put money in this in SABC, and then probably takes SABC private, for example, or he starts a local TV station, right? That gets rights, because I don't think this is the end. So he's starting with local he's starting with local sporting teams, which I'm assuming would soon extend to the PSL, right? So if it extends to that, smaller companies might see that, okay, there's a chance that there's something here for us.
They're talking about huge investment, and they're not sure what they plan to get out of it.
True.
They know who they are against.
Well, they are not sure. Okay, well, I've not done the business, but I'm just thinking that there's a whole lot you could gain. Why did Binance decide to sponsor AFCON? Brand recognition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if I'm buying them because even if I'm buying these rights because it's primarily a marketing tactic for me, it probably will make sense to them.
Yeah,
so
I think it's basically about having the fund. Either the government find a way to fund these corporations, these broadcasting corporations, or somebody brings money. You just have to be money, because it's money you use to compete against money.
Can you bring more money than NASPAS?
Who wants to do that?
Can you bring more money than that? The owners of Udemy, Code Academy. Should I mention all the companies again?
Well, if you think that the value you will get will be commensurate with how much, because the thing is, don't also forget that they have the money, right? But except it gets into a PSG type negotiation now, where they decide, okay, let's throw the whole house at you. They have a limit where they get to, and they're like, we are not doing it again, and they pull out. I mean, look at telecoms auctions in Nigeria, B5G auctions in Nigeria. Who won the auction? And as these guys pulled out, Airtel pulled out. Why did they pull out? They probably could not go above a certain level, but they probably have more money than Mafab.
Yeah, but at some point, maybe it probably wasn't worth it again.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, right? 5G, streaming, then when you want to stream, if you don't have a DSTV, you're stuck with illegal websites. I'm sorry. So, but I'm hoping for a future where all these things change, and hoping you'll tell us your thoughts with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast. So email us with the podcasts. email podcast@techpoint.africa. And if you're listening to us for the first time, we'll do alpha.
Okay, so I've been practicing. Okay, I've not been practicing. I just started practicing this morning. So you can get us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, HiHeartRadio, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
You reminded me of when you used to do Newsbites. Yeah. All right, guys. Have a lovely day and see you on Thursday. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.